Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Good to see everybody. All I can say is, wow, what a week this has been. I know probably everybody in here has been transfixed on the hurricane that came through. And thanks to God's blessings, it was headed up towards Panama City. That's where Anita and I are going and with our family. And I think there's others in here that are going to Panama City also, but it did veer away from there. And then somebody made a comment, I think to Freeman, that Jekyll is okay, that the site is open there. So truly God's blessing with all that devastation that we saw, that our feast sites are open and we can all attend hopefully in peace and no more storms coming up. And then Putin continues his saber rattling, and it's just been, you know, all I can say is thankfully, we have these fall holy days to attend, to look forward to something good when we see all this misery and all this turmoil that's going on in the world. Well, probably, probably a good portion of you in here know who Wernher von Braun is. He was from Germany, and he was intimately involved in the Nazi development of their weaponry. He was instrumental in the development of the propulsion system for the V-2 rocket. And that was a rocket that nearly changed the tide of the war. I mean, thankfully it came later towards the end of the war, but that V-2 rocket that Wernher von Braun helped develop brought about a lot of carnage and damage in Europe. After World War II was over, he was recruited by us, the United States, to aid in the development of our rocket systems. His unique solid fuel propulsion would aid in the development of our sophisticated weapons. And that same propulsion would eventually be used to put a man on the moon. He became known as the father of rocketry. Wernher died and was buried. He's buried in a very simple plot with a very small, simple tombstone or headstone. There's no grand monument on his resting place. The only thing on that small headstone, besides his name and the dates, is one simple scripture. And that scripture is Psalm 19:1. You don't have to turn there. That scripture reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." That's the only thing that's on Wernher's headstone. Think about it. He was a man of science. He was a man that created some of the most powerful forces in this physical world. Yet he was in awe of the power of God. Are we in awe of the power of God and his creation? And I guess a better question for the day, are we in awe of what he is about to create? A new creation. A creation we are all celebrating in these fall holy days. If you would like a title for this message, it would be, "Do We Really Want God's Kingdom to Come?" And I'm sure the automatic answer would be, of course we do. I'm sure we all do. We all want God's kingdom to come. But let's look at it a little bit more in depth today. You know, as we sit here today, what would drive us to yearn for this age that we're in now to be over? You know, we understand we're living in troubled times, and all of us in here talk about it a lot. We look at crime rates that are through the roof, murderers, rapists, robbers, and they pay no consequences for their actions. They're released. We have open borders with illegal immigrants flowing across. With that, we have drugs and human trafficking at an all-time high, just out of sight. Sexual deviations have become mainstream. Okay? But the bad part is they're being pushed on our young children. Roe v. Wade was overturned. Do you think that's going to stop abortions? No. Abortions are still going on. People are trying to revise our history. We have extreme intolerance from somebody that doesn't, if you don't agree with their viewpoint. We have inflation at a record highs right now. I would like to retire here in the next year. I hope that's feasible. And I know a lot of you are retired and are on a fixed income. It hurts. It hurts the pocketbook. And we have worldwide military conflicts. What I just spoke on, does any of this coincide with Matthew 24? Let's turn over there, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we'll start out in verse 3, scriptures we all know well. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' or 'I am speaking for Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, which are going on as we speak. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines." I mean, you look at Ukraine was one of the largest grain producers in the world. You don't think this war has an impact on that? Of course it does. We're going to see some real troubled times as far as our food supplies are going. Pestilence, COVID, what we just went through, the whole world was in turmoil over that. And earthquakes in various places. Maybe not an earthquake, but the hurricanes have sure wreaked havoc. "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." What person in their right mind wouldn't want God's kingdom to come with what we're living in? What would cause someone to hesitate? And I can think of a couple. You know, even when we complain about the things I just mentioned, I think most of us agree we all still have it pretty good here. Most of us live in a comfortable dwelling. We have food to eat. We have family that we can freely be with. We have brethren that we love. Entertainment galore. A million stations on TV. We have hobbies that we can enjoy. And we're free to travel anywhere we want. There is a lot that would make us just want to stay put and continue in our comfortable way of life. And I was thinking about this, and especially if you're younger, if we remember back, maybe some of the younger folks say, "Well, I really want God's kingdom to come, but I haven't had a chance to be married yet. I haven't had a chance to have children yet. I haven't had a chance and would really like to meet my grandkids someday." You know, those of us that are older, we've had the opportunity to experience those things. So it makes it easier for us that are older to say, "Please, God, let your kingdom come soon." And I think of my grandmother years ago. She was in her 90s, She was in a nursing home and she was failing. And through her life, she had a daughter that died at a young age. Her husband was gone. Most of her friends and peers were gone. And she would tell Anita and I continually, I just want to go to sleep. She was looking forward to something better. She didn't have an understanding of God's kingdom, but she knew there was something better. You know, we all need to stay in awe of what is yet to come, to look forward to the kingdom and not look back like Lot's wife did. Let's turn over to Revelation 21. Looking forward. Revelation 21, we'll start in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. When you read those words, it makes it, you don't want to hesitate. I mean, isn't this better? Isn't it something to look forward to? And I'm not sure about you, but there's times I get tired. I get tired physically and emotionally. I get depressed at times, and I'm sure most of you in here do. I worry about things from time to time. I know I shouldn't, scripturally I shouldn't, but I do. I'm human. I worry about things. I cry and have cried over losing friends and family. But what did we just read in the scriptures? There, at this time, with God's kingdom, there'll be no more tears, nor death, nor sorrow, and no more crying, for these things have passed away. What a wonderful creation to look forward to. Revelations 22, 1. Just flip over a page. Revelations 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the land and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No more wars. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. A beautiful existence that God is about to create. Another reason someone may not yearn for the kingdom to come. I'm not ready. I'm not worthy. I have more work to do on myself. And I'll stand up here and admit, sometimes it does scare me. I do so many things wrong that I need to continually work on. Sometimes I catch myself thinking, I hope I have more time to continue working on my problems. Romans 3. Romans 3, and we'll start out in verse 21. Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and I don't think it's going to stop today. We're going to make mistakes, and I have to remember that when I back away and feel like, okay, I'm not worthy. 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith, Christ's sacrifice, to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we have an opportunity for redemption. As the scripture said, had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And we have to remember that. We're going to make mistakes. But if we repent and continue to work on them, and I have to keep telling myself, and I know during a Passover we've heard it mentioned several times, and it is so true, that we talk about being worthy to keep the Passover. If we were worthy, we wouldn't need the Passover. None of us is worthy. And I have to remember that as I go through life. Luke 15. Luke 15, we'll start out in verse 8. Parable, I think we know well. Luke 15, verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. You know, we have forces rooting for us, wanting us to succeed, and are happy when we succeed. And we need to remember that. And to further, Zephaniah 3. Right toward the end of the Old Testament, Zephaniah 3. I always love these words. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has taken away your sins. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. As the margin puts it, you shall see fear no more. That fear will be gone, that worry. 16, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. How comforting that is to know, again, we have forces rooting for us. And we have God that will rejoice when we repent and do the right thing. You know, we need to stay inspired when thinking about being in God's kingdom. We need to really yearn to be there. You know, being in God's kingdom is truly a blessing. But I guess we should not take it selfishly. You know, we've all known people throughout our lives, and we still do, that wanted to be in God's kingdom, to go through this with what the fall holy days are showing us, for two reasons. And we know this has happened in the past, and I think philosophy has changed a little bit. And one reason was they wanted to escape the tribulation. That seemed to be uppermost in some people's minds, is to just not have to go through that terrible period. You know, God has promised that he would protect us from the tribulation. He promised he would take us to a place of safety. But that should not be the main goal for wanting to be in God's kingdom. You know, it's out of God's kindness, it's out of his mercy that he wants to protect us. And there have been countless messages given on this topic. For years, we all thought we were going to go to Petra, and that still may be true. I don't think we can 100% prove that, but a lot of scriptures seem to point that way. And there is nothing wrong with feeling that way. If we're all going to Petra, I will say this, if God doesn't just whisk us up and take us over there, if we have to rely on the airlines with the schedules they're running today, we're never going to make it. It's pretty sad. So if that is the case, I hope God miraculously takes us there and we don't have to book a flight. If we do make it, we'll be late. Regardless, God has promised to protect us from the tribulation. There's nothing wrong with wanting this to happen, and we shouldn't feel guilty in asking God for protection. But again, this should not be our main driver in wanting God's kingdom to come. Two, and again, I think our philosophy has changed over the years in the church. We've heard those in the past saying that they were really looking forward to having a lofty seat in God's government. And we've heard many talk about being kings and priests, and scripturally it does say that. But it's a different philosophy. They will be called on to teach others, and that's true. The scriptures support that. But we're going to teach just like Christ taught. We will serve and not rule as the world sees rulership. 2 Corinthians. Just real quick, I've got one scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 5, this is Paul talking. For we do not preach ourselves. We don't talk about, I said this, I want that, whatever. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're going to instruct, we're going to help, and we're going to serve. And that's the way that we should think of our rulership in God's kingdom. Matthew 20. Matthew 20, and we'll start out in verse 20. Again, an account we all know. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, that's James and John, came to him, Christ, with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine will sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." I don't think they quite understood, you know, what Christ was going to have to endure. So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by God, by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. They were upset that they would ask for this and let them excluded. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." World rulership. "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." That's what our seats will be in God's kingdom. We'll have, if you want to say rulership, but it's of servitude, of helping others, of teaching others, of caring for others, just like Christ, who gave his life, that we could all have an opportunity to be in God's kingdom. Have you noticed one common thread in the four areas that I just talked about? I want a little more time in this physical world. I may not be worthy. I want to escape the tribulation. I want to have a lofty seat of power in God's kingdom. It's all about me. And I'm not going to say, sure, we have to concentrate and work on ourselves. We have to strive to become better. We have to strive, as the Bible tells us, to become perfect, or a better word is complete. We do need to concentrate on ourselves. We need to continually repent. We need to grow. And we know we have God's mercy and the Spirit to help us do that. You know, during these fall holy days, we get excited, as we should, about trumpets, which we just had, Christ's return. Who couldn't get excited about that? We get excited about that. We get excited about atonement. Finally, Satan's out of our hair for a while. I mean, that's exciting. It is to me. We get excited about the Feast of Tabernacles, that wonderful, beautiful millennial setting that we're all going to be involved in. But don't let that one remaining feast day take a back seat, the last great day. God's kingdom is for everyone. Everyone that is willing to follow God and Jesus Christ. Zechariah 8. Give you a second. I have to thumb through and find it myself. Zechariah 8, and we'll start in verse 20. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, In those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of the Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Let me cling to you and let me travel with you. We know that God is your God. We want to have part of that. They put it in physical terms to grab the sleeve, or I think the margin says the corner of the garment. We want to go with you. Let us continue and go on with you. It is open for people that God's kingdom is, that really, truly want to accept God and follow his ways. Revelations 20. I think you know where we're going. Revelations 20. We'll talk about the great white throne judgment. Let's start in verse 12, just a couple verses here. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Anybody that drowned and was dead in the sea, they were brought forth. And death and Hades, or the grave, delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. An opportunity that everyone will have to follow God. Instead of focusing on ourselves, shouldn't we focus on the joy that many will have the opportunity to turn to God? You know, how about those that died not knowing God's truth? And I'm sure we have friends, I do, friends and family that didn't have God's truth. How much we, that have passed away, and how much we long to see them again. Well, the opportunity exists, and we should remember that as we're going through this feast season. We need to do what we can about ourselves and to honor God, but keep in mind those that will have the opportunity to follow God and be in his kingdom. You know, I know it's hard also, but we also need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for those that are dead set against us, who will also have the opportunity to be in God's kingdom. I mean, look at Paul. Saul was given a chance. So those that seem against us now, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Romans 8, we'll just a couple of scriptures here we'll conclude with. Romans 8, and we'll start in verse 18. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The turmoil we live in today, I guess we shouldn't think about it, because it's going to be glorious in the future that God's creating. For the earnest expectation for the creation eagerly yearns, once waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The creation today, it's physical. It's open to decay. It won't be that way in God's kingdom. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That's what these fall holy days help us do. They help us keep focused on the hope of God's kingdom and how wonderful that will be. One final scripture. You don't have to turn here. It's just one verse. I'll just read it to you. I think it's one of Anita's favorite and quite frankly mine. Very simple. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Beautiful words. That's what we should, that's the feeling we should have. You know, during these fall holy days, let's hope for, let's yearn for, let's wait with eager anticipation for God's kingdom to come soon. Not just for ourselves, but for all mankind.